Welcome to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more great content and updates, visit northrockchurch.com. Enjoy the message.
Good morning, North Rock. How are we this morning? Are we good? Good. Well, I'm glad that's your answer, even if it doesn't happen to be the case this morning. I'm glad that we're here in faith together. Looking forward to closing out this series. I've really enjoyed what we're calling kind of our summer of discipleship discovery. When we did GPS, learned about our gifts, our passions, and our stories, and how God uses that for us to be influencers in the world, and then learning about the specific influences that Jesus gave to the church. And today we get to talk about teachers, right? And a good teacher always has some way of hooking you, getting your attention, getting your interest piqued before they delve into the plethora of great information that you're about to get. So I'm going to give you a title that should pique your interest. And if it doesn't, then I don't know, I'll have to come up with something better. But I'm thinking that it's pretty good. Okay, so the title is Living Logos. Everybody say Living Logos. Teachers and Spiritual Sages. That gets you thinking about some stuff, doesn't it? Now I got to deliver the goods. Like, I got to bring that thing home. I got to land that plane, right? So first I wanted to start by, if I was to talk about the idea of a teacher, most of us, if I said, who was your favorite teacher, have somebody in mind as you sit here today, don't you? Could be a grade school teacher, could be somebody in primary, secondary education, college. Maybe it was a mentor in your particular field, a business, possibly a pastor. Somebody in your life that impacted you and taught you something that was important in life, right? When it comes to this idea of teachers have a way of influencing and impacting people, and they become really what we in the church would call spiritual sages, right? You know what a sage is? It's not the herb that goes, right? A sage is someone who goes out before, that has wisdom, that has knowledge, that can kind of take you down a path, a well-worn path, right? And so today we thank God for teachers. We thank God for his discernment wisdom to give us teachers in the church, right? Most churches are centered around a stage and a teacher that stands on that stage. And part of what we're trying to do as a congregation and part of what this whole series is about is reminding us that God's plan for the world is activation of his entire body, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers. And what am I missing? You guys should know we've been talking about it for 5 weeks, right? I couldn't have skipped over apostle. Anyway, you guys know better than I do, right? But we thank God for those teachers. We thank God for Christ's life in us. And here's the reality is those five aspects of his fullness are what cause life to thrive in a community, right? So let's talk about teacher a little bit. Let's pray. And then I want to, as a teacher, I want to give you some context to the content that we're getting ready to go through, okay? Every text has a context, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for your provision. Lord, that you are truth, you are life. And Lord, we just pray that you would be revealed, that you would be lifted high, and that you would do what only you can do, and that's transform our lives as we lean in, as we take hold of, and as we live out the truth of who you are in this world. In Jesus' name, give us eyes to hear, eyes to see, and ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So some of these, the first I'm going to go pretty fast because these are review verses that we've been through in this series. But I really feel like it gives us the totality of what God's trying to teach us in this Ephesians text. Okay, so Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, Paul preaching here says, therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to live a life worthy of your calling. Everybody say calling. For you have been called by God. You understand that if we just read over that to get to the what are they, we miss the point, don't we? That we all have a calling by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Make allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. However, jumping ahead to verse 7, it says, however, he has given each of us a special gift, a grace, a little g grace, through the generosity of Christ, right? And you see in those passages a perspective change of Paul, right? There's a posture shift where he's saying, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the reason that I live now is to fulfill the calling that he has placed on our lives. Verse 11 is what we've been talking about, that apest, right? Now these gifts Christ gave the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That's where I got myself, the shepherd thing. Yeah, that's where I got myself. So we said it, we just said it differently, right? Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work, build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Yeah, I can tell you, I just had to say it in front of all of y'all, right? So there's a platform, there's a positional authority that goes with the calling that God has placed on our lives, that we actually get to live out his expression of his love for those that he puts into our life, right? And so this is the text that we're going to be concentrating on to finish out the series, verses 14 and 15 and 16, okay? So it says, then, after all of that, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown around by every wind of every new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies that sound so clever that they sound like truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. You guys see the practical participation nature of what that text is talking about? I love this image that comes out of the 5Q book. If you guys have a chance, and this has been an interesting series, you can pick this up. We don't have any copies here, but you can get this on Amazon just about anywhere. Written by Alan Hirsch, and it's talking about reactivating the original idea behind Christ's body. So reigniting the original intelligence and capacity of Christ's body in the church, okay? So if we can go to the next slide, you see the pictures, okay? So what was just described is what you're seeing over there on the right side. When the apostolic mark, the prophetic, the teaching, the shepherding, and the evangelist marks are all a part of a body and they're all working together, we see a better image, a fuller image of the fullness of who Jesus is in the world, in a community, in a place of worship, right? You guys agree with that? So there's kind of my mark. I'm more on the apostolic side. And so you can see when it comes to apostolic type of behaviors, like I'm like, always talking about that, right? And then you have teachers and prophets and shepherds and teachers that all kind of blend that together to see the fullness of what God wants to do. Okay, the whole idea behind teaching is the movement of the body of Christ. Amen? Like that's what it screams at me from that passage of Ephesians 4. Now, beyond the teaching of what the gifts are, beyond the call and the compelling call to participate in that call, is this idea of we're created one for another. And one of my concerns when we start doing these types of inventories, these spiritual inventories, these types of tests online, is that it can tend to reinforce this idea of this is my gift and that I can just have it on my own and I can live it out on my own. You guys know that's not a biblical concept, right? That individual Christianity isn't in the Bible, right? We're called to be a part of his body, his wholeness, his fullness. The reason that he gives us his body is to be his body. He gives us the gifts, the graces that he gives us so that we can live out as his body in this world. So as we participate in that, we actually complement one another. You see how this gift affects that gift and it brings us into more of a complete image of who Jesus is in the world instead of a competing or comparison model, right? See, that's my concern when it comes to our individual gifts. It's like we start going, I'm the evangelist. Dun, dun, dun. And everybody's like, oh, I thought I was an evangelist, but I guess that's what an evangelist is. So I guess I'm not an evangelist. I don't know what I am anymore, right? And listen, maybe that's just me, but I think that's human nature that we all kind of tend to do that. We want to kind of posture and sometimes compare like, oh, wow, they're really good at that. I guess I'm not really, maybe I'm something else, right? But the whole purpose of the gifts is that we would complete and that we would complement one another as the body of Christ in the world. So when it comes to this gift of teaching, how many teachers do we have in the house, right? Parents are teachers. If you're a manager, a leader in any capacity, you're a teacher. If you work in school systems, you're a teacher. Like teaching is a primary gift, right? I know we've got a lot of them in this place. I know we've got a lot of teachers getting ready to go back to school. Please pray for them. I know this time of year can be tough on them, right? Because they feel the weight of what's getting ready to happen as they influence the next generation. But the whole idea is that the teaching gift, as that grace, is really more a progression. And this idea really comes from Alan Hirsch's work on this, is more of a progression of the living logos of who Jesus is in the world. And in order to do that, we got to see kind of a progression of who God is in the world. It's really what we'd call triune theology, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit at work as the living logos in the world, right? So let's look at it. First, an effective teacher in the world recognizes that the purpose of the teaching is to reveal him as creator, Christ, and commission. Okay, effective teaching influences recognize God as logos, as truth, as the revealed word to his world. And the reality is, as we sit in this place today, we all approach even the idea of who God is from a little bit more of a different nuanced position, based on our church backgrounds and our experiences personally. But from 5Q chapter 4, they teach that the roots of teaching are grounded in the fact that God is all-knowing, right? And anywhere you're ready to give me an amen, that's a good place for him, right? We're saying this is who God is. Regardless of what we see, regardless of all the hard things that go on, this is the expression of God as logos, right? He's all-knowing. Nothing is not known by him. He is the logos. He's the word. And he's the source of reason in human beings. He's glorious. He's prescient. He's truthful. He's truth. Right? He's the source of all truth and beauty. God is whole and he's complete in himself. In other words, his entire system is perfectly and ecologically balanced. And finally, he is wise. He's the source of wisdom and understanding in the world. Do we believe that today, church? That is who we worship today. God, logos. Right? But it's not enough to just say, hey, that's who God is. Because he didn't give us that option. He didn't just say, hey, I'm going to give you some information. Now go on about your business. He didn't do that, did he? He said, no, I'm going to incarnate the word, right? So that's what John said, that Jesus put on flesh, right? And he came and lived amongst us. That he is the truth and the life of the word. In other words, truth, word, logos, has flesh. It needs a body for it to do the work that it's called to do, right? So effective teachers influence by acknowledging that Jesus is the living word. He's the incarnate logos. I'm just going to read an excerpt from 5Q. It says, seeing Jesus through this teaching quotient lens as the divine rabbi, says that Jesus was this amazing Jewish teacher. The word in the culture to describe it was rabbi, who was full of knowledge and wisdom and insight and truth from his heavenly Father. Jesus confirmed his disciples' recognition of this ability. He says, you call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. It's important, teacher and Lord. Hold that thought for a minute. That's John 13:13. This says, the Pharisees acknowledged his power beyond the average instructor. It says, rabbi, we know that you are a teacher that comes from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him, John 3:2. And it says that even the general wider public who didn't have interest in these type of matters distinguished his teaching from the normal teaching of the day. And it says they were astonished. They were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one with authority and not as the scribes. Mark 1:22. Okay, so here's where the rubber meets the road, y'all. Like, it's easy to go, amen, God, yeah, word, logos, yeah. Jesus, woohoo, living logos, yeah. Right? He, yeah, perfect, got it. You know, where the rubber meets the road is when it's transferred as the Holy Spirit into his body, into the Holy Spirit being poured out into our lives. Because just as much as God wanted Jesus to incarnate his word, he wants us to incarnate his word through our bodies and his body in our midst. Amen? Amen. Luke chapter 8, verse 18 kind of hits the nail on the head. It says, so pay attention to how you hear. Pay attention to how you hear. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what they think they understand will be taken from them. Yes, there's a common denominator in the three groups that we just read about, right? The Pharisees, the disciples, and then the greater community around them. They all recognized something unique about who God is. It was simply this, that he is not just teacher, he is Lord. He is not just Lord, he's our teacher. You understand why that's an important distinction? It's easy to go, yeah, Jesus is Lord, amen. All right, well, we're going to go out for lunch, Richard, right? But when we really recognize that it's his teaching that influences, that gives us the ability to participate in the graces of the life that he wants us to live out. And by the same measure, if we just say, that was good teaching, but I'm not really going to submit to him as my Lord. It's good advice. It's not, you know, like Oprah advice, but it's pretty good advice, right? I'm having some fun with it, but you understand what I'm talking about, right? There's a lot of different points of wisdom and teachers in this world that maybe are not reinforcing the truth of the word of who God is in our life. And we have to be able to figure that out, right? So the third one is that effective teachers influence by responding to the call and the commission, okay? That's that part we said rubber meets the road. It's good enough to go amen in church, God, Jesus, got it. But it's a whole other thing to say, oh my gosh, Pastor Chad and Andrew and the whole team, listen, Josh and Debbie, they're talking about me in this series. Like, I've got apostolic gifts. I've got prophetic gifts. I've got evangelistic gifts. I've got teaching gifts. Can I just by a show of hands, how many of you have recognized something about how God has wired you through this series? Can you just show me your hands? Like, you've gone, oh yeah, I get that. That's why I act like that, right? And sometimes we have this disconnect because we think the only gifts that should be highlighted are the ones that are on this stage, right? How many of you guys know that this is a limited space and place, even though we've got a pretty wide variety of voices that speak to us on a consistent basis? Most of what God's going to do in us is out there, right? So John 14:26 says this about the response to the call and commission. He says, but when the Father sends the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, right, as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything that I have told you. Isn't that a good promise today, church? Like, I get confidence from that. Okay, it's God's truth that he's called us to, right? Jesus has made it possible for me to walk in what he's called us to do. And the Holy Spirit, if I'll just speak out, will be there to remind me of everything that he's taught me. If I'll operate in that space between faith and where I'm at, he'll remind me of the things that I need to know. Matthew, it's like having a photographic memory. Anybody in here have a photographic memory? Like everything, just got it. I just read it once, boom, done. Can I just say that I need prayer after the service if that's you, because I hate you. I have so much running around in my head that I forget my own stuff sometimes. Right? But that would be an awesome gift to just be like, yep, got it. Mm-hmm. Yep. Matthew 28:20. Get back on track here. little too much exhortation and not enough teaching, Chad. You're teaching on teaching. You better teach. Matthew 28:20 says, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, always, even to the end of the age, right? John 8:31, Jesus says to the people, he says, that have believed in him, he says, you are truly my disciples, right? That's what I mean, a follower of his teaching, right? That's the simplest component, a follower of his way, follower of the Logos, right? You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. In other words, it's not enough to just say, Lord, Lord. It's Lord, Lord, what? Lord, Lord, how? Lord, Lord, what are you wanting to do in me? Lord, Lord, how do I live out my apest in this world? So here's let's just drill down for a few moments on the teaching gift, because we want to highlight that, right? By show of hands, how many of you guys would say, I'm a teacher? I recognize this gift active in my life, in the jobs that I've been given, in the things that I've been asked to do, right? Okay, good. That's a good blend. Okay, so when it comes to how teachers are gifts to the church, we've got an image up here that you guys probably still can't see the lettering on. So I'm just going to rip through a couple of them, okay? So the characteristics of a teacher are that they are people who help others learn and grow. Duh, right? Like, we have that figured out. Gosh, thanks for that insight, Pastor. Okay. They create a learning environment where people immerse themselves in the scriptures in order to be those scriptures to be formed in them. You guys understand, we haven't really learned something until it's formed in us, right? That's not enough to just get it here, to memorize it, just quote it. It's when it moves from here to here to here, we've learned something. When it gets into our feet and we take it with us, we've learned something, right? So the characteristics of a teacher are they're effective communicators of truth. They're translators of great complexities into simple teachings. They have a strong desire for people to understand teaching and the wisdom of God. And some of their functions in the world are that they're fostering a learning culture. In other words, the church is kind of its own seminary, that the purpose of us gathering is that we'll grow in the knowledge and the will of who Jesus is and his commitment to live that out through us, and that we'll go back out into the world. It's like its own learning seminary. Okay? Other functions are they develop resources for learning. They articulate the theology and the philosophy of the group. They train wise and informed leaders and ministers, right? But just like any gift, just like I talked about the blind spots of the apostolic vision, is always go and maybe don't pay enough attention to the show or the hangout kind of piece, right? For the teacher, the blind spots are that they can be driven by the needs or the need to be right. Have you guys ever tried to have an argument with a teacher, like in their subject matter? That's tough. That's tough sledding right there. That's tough sledding right there, right? They can be suspicious of other people's experiences if it doesn't align to the way that they understand what they understand, right? That sometimes for a teacher, the theology matters more than the people. Ooh, ouch, right? So Jesus says truth and love. Truth and love. They can be dogmatic and opinionated. They can value ideas or tradition over the move of the Spirit. They can sometimes be nitpicky and critical of others' teachings and sermons. So if you find yourself nitpicking my sermon a little bit, you might be a teacher. I'm just saying. Okay, I'm just saying. Let's just help you find your teaching environment, right? So here's the real question. How do we identify? How do we self-select? How do we recognize that this is something that God's doing in us? How do we know if we're a teacher? Number one, teachers are drawn to the scriptures and are often intensely hungry to read, to study, to memorize scripture. Right? I got to just pause for a minute because earlier I asked the question, who are some teachers in your life that have really impacted you? You know, today might be a good day to exhort and encourage them and just send them a note, send them a message, just say, hey, thank you for investing in my life in the way you have. I tell you, it makes teachers' days. But when it comes to this idea of digging deep and going further down than what you would think, that they're intensely hungry to read, study, and memorize Scripture, one of the teachers that's impacted my life is sitting back there hiding behind that screen, Diana Von Felt. And so I'm going to embarrass her a little bit here, because she's one of those that's like, she'll tell me something, we'll talk about something, I'll think we're done with the conversation because I'm an exhorter. I'm like, yeah, I said it, it's awesome, it's good, we talked. Yeah, and then she's like, no, you don't understand. And like, she'll talk to me for like another hour and a half, and then I'll go, okay. Or she'll say, you know, she's one of the most studious people I know when it comes to the Scriptures. Like, she handles it like it's God's word to us. And she's a model for us in that. But she's always going, oh, I'm not able to teach it at the depth of what it's really there for. I'm like, feels pretty deep right now, right? Good friend Tom Edwards, another mentor of people in this church in our lives. Like, I'd have conversations with Tom, we'd go have coffee, and I'd think, man, that was a really awesome conversation. And then he'll be like, no, like, when you talk about that term, and like, he would talk to me for like 4.5 more hours. And then the day would be over and you'd go, wow, that was really insightful and helpful, right? Teachers cause us to look deeper into what we think we know. Does that make sense? So teachers also desire to help other people understand the truths of God's word. They have a gift for outlining comprehensive curricula and systems. They help operationalize the dreams and visions of apostles and prophets. Thank you, Lord. Right, they create the systems of knowledge and information transmission and discipleship pathways, right? So what does the church look like without the complete apex? We're going to have a little fun with this morning, and then we'll wrap up, okay? So what would the church look like without the complete apex as the expression of that church? In two words, a dysfunctional apex, right? It's a dysfunctional apex. So if it's all apostle, and I've played with this idea a little bit, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this one. But if it's all apostle and no prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher, no pest, right, then it's a church of all go, no show. It's always about the church planting. It's always about going to the places that the gospel hasn't been sown. It's always about the missionaries. It's always about the new works of what's happening, right? If it's all P without the A-E-S-T, right, then it becomes like this frozen chosen model. Right? Where we're always about the deep things of God. That if prophetic leaders dominate, the organization will be one-dimensional and will likely be factitious and sectarian. In other words, they'll say, if you don't believe exactly the way that we believe on exactly every point that we've exactly outlined to you, then we can't be together, okay? It tends to be super spiritual, or have this vibe of somewhat paradoxically will tend to either be too activist it'll be too activist not to be sustainable, right? Or too quietist to be useful. Okay, if it's all E, it's all evangelist, it's all show and no go. It's bigger, shinier, faster. Right? It's all about the growth and the numbers, and we're going, all show, but no go. Okay? That when an evangelistic leader dominates, the organization will have an obsession with numerical growth. They'll create dependence on an effervescent, charismatic leadership. Right? And they will tend to lack theological breadth and depth. Okay? They won't empower many people in that system. Okay, so if it's all shepherd, right, all shepherd, then I call that what we'd call the holy huddle, right? Anybody ever hear that term? It's all just get together this morning and just share our feelings. It's just, we don't have to learn, we don't have to do. It's just, come on in, give me a hug, right? And we're having fun with some of these caricatures because it's all of us together, right? And so for some people, that's deeply offensive because they're like, hey, I'm a shepherd. What's up with that? Let's hug. Right? The same way with the apostles. It's like, I don't want to hug, man. Let's go do something for Jesus. Right? And then finally, the teacher is the T with no apes, no A-P-E-S. Okay? And that's what I would call the Bible study on steroids. Right? It's like, I thought I learned. I've got a master's degree, but man, I don't know anything. Like, I don't know what's going on with this thing, right? When teachers and theologians rule, the church will be ideological, controlling, moralistic, and somewhat uptight. Says that rationalistic, doctrine-obsessed Christian Gnosticism will prevail. You guys know Gnosticism? It's the idea of we're saved by what we know, and it'll kind of replace that reliance and that dependence that we need to have on the Holy Spirit to direct and guide us every day. Amen? So I'm going to take just a moment. I think I've already kind of set it up. I'm going to step up on my soapbox, right? Because it's not enough to learn about ourselves. The soapbox moment is really this idea of the systems. Is that it? That's our systems? Well, our graphic, it used to be like this human body, so I don't know where those lines came from, but it still has the right terminology, so that's good. That's never happened before. You guys remember from my first message where it had that human body there, right? And so the picture, I wanted to show you that systems of the human body, again, to remind us the immune system, the nervous system, the cardiovascular system, the hormonal system, the eliminating of antioxidant system, the digestive system, the musculoskeletal system, the one that I can't pronounce, much less spell, and the reproductive system are all important. They're all equally important. Wouldn't you agree? That's what Ephesians 4 is saying to the church. It's all important. It's all good. It's all necessary. It all needs to be exhibited. It all needs to be exemplified. It all needs to be practiced. It all needs to be worked out, right? Because if I asked every single person here, hey, which one of those systems would you be willing to give up? Which one of those would you just like to just totally just not do? Or better yet, more representative of what some, you know, kind of the local church expression can be, is we're just going to be the central nervous system, and that's it. Like, I'm only going to have one system working. Like, no one would do that, right? It's crazy. No one would do that. So that's why I have the privilege of coming up here and exhorting and getting all lathered up and all jacked up to remind us that we're no good without the eyes and the legs and the nervous system all functioning together. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And my prayer, my hope, my desire is that as we come out of this summer season and we enter into our fall season here at the church, that this summer has riled up some things inside of you. My prayer is that you're hearing the Holy Spirit speaking to you and saying, this is something that God is stirring in me. I need to talk to somebody about it. Can I just say for a minute, like, you don't need permission to process this kind of stuff with each other and with others in your life, right? That the purpose of what we talk about on Sundays is that it would influence us to the point that we have to talk about it, and that we would use the gifts that God has given us, that Christ has given to us, to influence the unity, the building up, and the sending out of the logos of the word. Amen? So the only question that remains this morning is, how much do we want to, how much are we willing to participate in Ephesians chapter 4, right? And just as an expression of the body at work in itself, I wanted to just do an exercise with you, if you would allow me that, okay? It'll do two things. One, it'll remind me that you're not sleeping, that you're with me, right? But if you've identified yourself as an apostle, like having an apostle gifting, would you stand up? Okay. Yeah. Doing apostolic work. Stay up, would you guys? What if you identified, did you have the graces or the giftings of a prophet? Like, you're always just listening for the Holy Spirit. You're worried consistently about God's standard and his word being exemplified in the world. If you identify that, would you stand up too? Yeah, it's good. Thank you, prophets. Can I just tell you that most churches kick out the apostles and the prophets because we can tend to be too direct and we can be, you know, little much, right? If you've identified the gifting of an evangelist where it's just always about how do I share the good news of what Jesus did in my life, would you please stand up? How many evangelists do we have in this place? That's good. Yeah. I was going to say, Marty, I was going to call you out, girl. Yeah, I know. I see it. I hear it all the time. Yeah, there's some evangelists and teachers. Teachers, would you rise? That's good. That's good. Now, the people that are still remain seated, either one didn't understand my instructions or don't understand. Did I forget shepherds? Shepherds, please stand. Can't forget the shepherds. Oh my gosh, see? Yeah, there we go. Or they just decided, you know what, I don't care what Pastor Chad says, I'm not standing up in church. Right? I understand that. Some of us are more introverted than others. We're going to sing this song. And what I'd like us to do is to reflect on Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. It says, let this message about Christ in all of its fullness fill your lives. So I'm giving you that word as a prayer, right? Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom that he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Can we do that, church? Because when we do that, we do what that first image said. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers, all doing the work of the Lord in the world. Amen. So, Father, thank you for these gifts that stand here today as we've risen to worship you, to end our service, to sing praises and acknowledge that you are God, that you are Logos, you are truth, you are life, and you are the Christ Messiah. Lord, today, as much as we know how, we submit to you as Lord and as our teacher. Lord, help us to apply your word, and Lord, we trust your Holy Spirit to live it out in ways that exemplify your love and your life in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Couldn't have been a better song to end this with, could there be? I tell you, as I stand before you today, like I'm moved by seeing the gifts at work, the body of Christ in the world, arrows out, living out the life that Jesus has given them. Amen. Amen. So if you're here for the first time, maybe you haven't ever heard this, that God not only saved you by going to the cross, by Jesus going to the cross to pay for our sins, but that he called you into the life that he foresaw before you were ever born. So what I'd like to encourage you to do is, if you've identified some of these gifts that we just stood up and said, yes, that's what God's doing in me, I want to grow in these, and I want to go on in my life in the ways that God has created for me to live, talk to some people. Take the step. Connect with somebody and talk about the gifts and what you've been learning through this summer, okay? But maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Chad, I don't know that I've got a relationship with Jesus. I don't know what I don't know. And today I would like to receive him as my Lord and Savior. We're going to pray a prayer with you as a community that we pray every week, because we know that we are always coming to and coming back to the life that Jesus has given us. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and you rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life, and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, to living in fellowship with God's people, to following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name, we pray and we trust. Amen, 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 amen. Amen. Hey, God bless you. Thank you for being here. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, I'd love to meet you after the service. We've got a gift to help you get started in this journey with Jesus, okay? But if you just need to talk to somebody about anything we talked about today, be sure to do that. We'll have support pastors available, a prayer team, and plenty of people to connect with, okay? God bless you. Thank you for being here at North Rock. We love you.
Thanks for listening to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more information about our church and upcoming events, check us out at northrockchurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram.